Thanks ever so much for leading us in prayer. Hopefully, on your chairs as you came in, there was a piece of paper that looked something like this. If you take that up, that'll be really helpful. And there's hopefully a pencil as well. That'll help you, hopefully, to follow along a bit and concentrate so where we're going. Let me just get a few things that we need. I think we're ready. And as we begin, let me ask you a question. How much do you enjoy Christmas? Please bear in mind that this talk was finished before yesterday's announcement. How much do you enjoy Christmas? I've got a couple of pictures to help us out. And the first one is of the Grinch. Here's the Grinch, and he hates Christmas. He's not a big fan at all. And the second picture is of Buddy the Elf. Look how excited he is for Christmas. Buddy the Elf. I wonder, who are you more like? On the scale of the Grinch to Buddy the Elf, how much do you enjoy Christmas? Maybe you can put a little arrow on the rope in the picture. Who are you more like? Who are you closest to? I hope that we're up this end. I hope that you're more like Buddy than the Grinch. But there are people who hate Christmas. If you search on the internet, reasons why I should hate Christmas, you will find many articles. One man who would agree with those articles appears in our passage this morning. His name is Herod, and Herod hates Christmas. And the reason that Herod hates Christmas is because Herod hates God's king. That's the first thing we're going to see this morning. You can fill in the blanks on your sheets. Hopefully I've left enough space for you to put a few letters in. Herod hates God's king. Please look down with me and follow along as I read the section of the Bible that's just below that box from Matthew 2. We've already had it read out, but I'm going to reread it for us. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked him, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." This part of the Bible is written by a man named Matthew, and it's clear that Matthew wants us to know that Jesus is God's chosen king. It's clear that Matthew wants us to know that Jesus is God's chosen king. It's clear that Matthew, do you get the point? Jesus is God's chosen king. Matthew wants us to know this. Why do I say that? Well, let's look down. The wise men, when they turn up, what do they ask in verse 2? You can underline it. "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" Where is God's king is their question. Now, when Herod's hears this, he finds some people who know the Old Testament, and he asks them, "Where is the Messiah meant to be born?" Answer, "Bethlehem." Now, the word Messiah means God's chosen king. And just like you and I are waiting for Christmas Day, Israel in the Old Testament, before the Messiah came, were waiting for him. They were waiting, but before the Messiah came, they had some information about him. You see, if we open up the Old Testament, there it is, all of these books in the Old Testament. And if we take out the book of Micah, and if we open up the book of Micah, we're told in Micah, Messiah's location of birth equals Bethlehem. And I've put the verse there on the sheets. We're told in the book of Micah that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus is this Messiah that the Old Testament talks about. Jesus is God's chosen king. That's what Matthew wants us to know. And Herod realizes this. And but did you notice how Herod feels? And the wise men turn up and say, well, where's the king? And Herod is disturbed. He's angry. He's upset. He's troubled. And we're even told in the next part of Matthew that Herod gave orders for all the baby boys in Bethlehem to be killed. And Herod wants to get rid of Jesus. See, God's chosen king is here, but Herod hates him. Why? Well, the answer is because Herod wants to be king. Our Christmas Day afternoon, I don't know about yours, ours is usually filled with an intense schedule of competitive games. And we don't play this game. I think it would be too dangerous and it would end in A&E, but I take it we've all played musical chairs. And so we should all know the answers to the following questions. How many chairs are left at the end of the game of musical chairs? One. Few people are awake. How many people can win by sitting on that chair? One. It's quite a simple quiz. Now answer me this. How many thrones do I have on stage? One. And so how many people can sit and be king? Well done. Correct. You see, just like only one person can win musical chairs, only one person can be king. Herod knows that only one person can be king, and he wants to be that king. That's why he doesn't want Jesus. That's why he hates God's king. But actually, if you and I are honest, then we need to admit that we are a bit like Herod. One of the ways that the Bible talks about sin is how it's like we want to sit on a throne with a crown on our heads. And we want to be in charge. Maybe you can draw yourself on that throne. Write your name in the crown. The Bible says that we all want to live in a way that we want to live. We want to decide how to live and ignore how God says we should live. So if we want to be king and then the true king turns up, well, we want to get rid of him. So you can't have the true king if you want to be king. So we want to get rid of him. Danger is that if we reject the king, then the king will reject us. So if rejecting Jesus, if rejecting God's king, it is the wrong and indeed foolish response, well, what is the correct response to him? What is the wise way to respond to him? Well, it's the wise men who show us. If the first thing we've seen is Herod hates God's king, second thing, wise men worship God's king. Again, you can fill that in. Herod hates God's king, wise men worship God's king. And then we'll read the rest of our passage, which is just below that box. Wise men worship God's king. Let's read the rest of our passage. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I said earlier that Matthew is making it very, very clear to us that Jesus is God's chosen king. And the wise men realize this, but instead of hating the king, will they travel a long way to worship him. That's what we're told in verse 2. And it's what they do in verse 11. Do you see it there? They see the child. They bow down and worship him. Jesus is God's chosen king, and so he is deserving of worship. But we also get another hint in this passage, another reason why Jesus deserves our worship, and the hint is in the gift of myrrh. Now think about it, myrrh is a very strange gift to give to a newborn baby. And myrrh is used to prepare a body for burial. Imagine turning up to hospital, the maternity ward, a friend or a relative has just given birth, another guest comes in, they bring out this gift, the new mum opens it, and it's a coffin. Can you imagine? It's effectively what the wise men do. They turn up with something that is useful for burying a body. And the point is that even at Jesus' birth, we're being pointed to the fact that he is going to die and be buried. And the fact that Jesus would do that for me, and the fact that Jesus would do it for you, is a reason why he deserves our worship. You see, Jesus came from a throne in heaven. And he came from that throne in heaven to be lifted up on a cross. Jesus' crown of gold replaced at Easter with a crown of thorns. And as Jesus died, he took God's punishment that we deserve to face for our rejection of him. Jesus took that for us, for you. And that's what Christmas is all about, the coming of a Savior, one who would die for you. If our trust is in him, then we are saved. And Jesus didn't stay dead. The cross is empty. There's no person on the cross. And Jesus is the very good king, the one who would die for you. And Jesus is the eternal king, the one who would be raised up, never to die again. We began by thinking about how much we enjoy Christmas, but more importantly than how much do we enjoy the presents and the gifts, how much do you enjoy the fact that Jesus came to earth to save you, to die for you? How do you respond to Jesus? Do you hate him or do you worship him? You might think, well neither. I don't worship Jesus, but I really don't hate him. And we want to put ourselves somewhere in the middle. But the Bible is clear that there are only two responses to Jesus. It's not a rope, it's two responses. You can either hate him or worship him. You see, remember, there can only be one person on the throne. And so if it's you on the throne, well, you have to hate God's king because you don't want him. Or it's God's king on the throne, and so you worship God's king. Friends, I hope you see that the wise people amongst us will worship God's king as we put our trust in him, in his death and resurrection for salvation. And the wise people amongst us will continue to worship Jesus as our king, as he is central, as he is in charge of every area of life, whatever we say and think and do. God's chosen king is here. What does Herod do? Herod hates God's king. What do the wise men do? Wise men worship God's king. Which of these two will you do this Christmas? Are you going to act like Herod? Or are you going to act like the wise men? Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for sending the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, to come to earth. Thank you that he came from his throne in heaven to go to the cross. Thank you that his crown of gold replaced with a crown of thorns for us. And so we pray, Father, that this Christmas we would be those who are wise, who worship your King. For his glory we ask. Amen. We're going to listen to one final song, and this song that reminds us of this King who came from his